It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
People at the summit know why we are unafraid. Because, you know, you can't have fun and be afraid at the same time. I don't think. You know, I'll think about that. Probably not. So the one thing that Thomas, I wanted to make sure that he had an opportunity to kind of share just in a short segment before he has get to work. And then Jet and I will go into a lot of stuff because he got to give rides to a lot of these guys. You know, we had people that were shoveling people to and from the airport. And that was interesting. Like Thomas Woods, my wife picked him up and he needed to go to Mass. He wanted to do a classic, you know, old traditional. And he found a church, a Catholic church down on Baseline. You know, it's South Phoenix here. And he's going to church on Sunday. Well, you know, and then finally, eventually, Jeff Greenspan from Campaign for Liberty, I think he's Catholic too, so he went to church with him. They went and did that, so he got exposure to the other side of the kind of organized activism, you know, and I just, whatever, I didn't talk about it, I don't care. You know, so he went and had, got exposure to that, and I'm sure they had long conversations, but he got to go. Thomas did all of the panels. I mean, everything, you know, I said, you know, because he had a speaking fee. You know, he and John Taylor Gatto, get them, you know, said, yeah, pay all my way and fork over some cash. You know, a big, giant chunk. I mean, everyone all my money, you know. And what happened was he was like, I guess, well, what do you want me on? Or what do I got to do? When do I speak? Every freaking moment that is available. We're gonna have you you know, shelling people from the airport. What we gotta do? I'm getting my money's worth, man. So, but he got to go to church on Sunday, and he did. He spent a lot of time at his table, and a lot of people wanted to talk to him. And it's amazing, man. He's like a rock star. A lot of the young kids, man, the young men and women want to have conversation. He got a lot of books sold. Books assigned. Charles Goyette, the same way. You know, Charles was very popular and did a great job. And he was the second speaker in the morning right before Dr. Paul. And I didn't get to speak. You know, I did the emceeing thing. I got to say what I want. You know, I'm good. You know, I never get to speak at these things. You know, I can't remember a single. I think one summit I got a speaking slot. Mark always does. I'm just because, you know, there's so many other people I want to hear. And that was the point about this. It's not about me talking. If I want to yak, I can do it on radio, you know. But at the summit, I do these summits so I can hear everybody else. But I never get to because I'm so busy. Well, what happens is, you know, then I get the DVD and I really get to enjoy it and it's fun. So the only other way I get is from the perspective of people like Thomas, you know, or some of the favorite guys or, you know, what you got out of it.
Well, one of the people I enjoyed tremendously was Joel Skousen. And he talked a lot about the money angle from a different point of view because we have all this money out in the world that he says. Well, he says that he has we have about $40 trillion outside the USA. So we've pumped up about $3 trillion. We've created all this money. Well, we're all talking about, well, we're going to have to pay for it. But in reality, have we had to pay for it yet? No, we haven't really. We haven't seen like this dramatic price increases. Well, that's because there's so much extra money out there. And plus, all these guys that are working on the outside, they're all working together. It's like a big mafia. As long as they don't talk, No one will spill the beans. No one can go to jail. The other person I liked a lot was John Taylor Gatto, and I had no idea of how deep the school system matrix went. It was just absolutely just mind blowing.
John Taylor Gatto's speech is going to be one of the most popular Freedom Summit segments, and a lot of people went just because of him. We'll be right back.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Well, now, Jet and I get to talk about, you know, his little intimate conversations with all these people. Because I tell you, this is where the summit really happens. And you get to know these people. We have a lot of breaks. We have long lunches. This is the first time that we did kind of little lunch events and had some, because we usually have 2 hours and they go do whatever. And so we had an option, you know, about half the people would come in and participate in that and get their lunch, and they made sandwiches and such. So it's when you have these people out in the hallway having these discussions, and some of them get animated. There was some guy that he came just to go hammer on Joel Skousen, man. He just wanted to give him what for. And I don't know what purpose. I mean, to hammer on him in front of us, or just to hammer on him or whatever. You know, Joel held his own. The guy, whatever. I don't care. But, you know, and that's why when you do the Phil Donahue thing and you hold the microphone up, they always want to hold or take the microphone. And I'm like, oh, heck no. I hold the microphone. And the reason is this. People start going into speeches and try and get it back from them. And I go, no, I hold the mic. Well, I hold the microphone. I might want to take it away. He goes, well, yeah, you might want to go. That's fine. So I let him go. He's going on. Make your point. I'm like, make your point. Ask your question. Make it 10 seconds. 5 seconds. Oh, you're done. Okay, there we go. So usually that happens a lot more often. We just had it one time, but it adds flavor. I mean, you know, nobody got all freaked out or anything. So we have these people that, well, a little bit more controversial. Somebody's got to pick them up at the airport. Somebody's got to take them back. And then a lot of times we have people begging to do that. Like John Taylor Gatto. Dan Inslee, some activist, we will take care of it. We want to get him. And he was, when we did the signs, I got a call from Tempe City Sign Enforcement, whatever, on the way to the show this morning. is this a Freedom Summit? I go, yeah, that happened this last weekend. I mean, you want to buy a ticket? I mean, it's already over. And he goes, well, I'm from the city of Tempe, and we got some signs that need to be. I'm going, oh, what? There's signs up still? The volunteers put that in. I'll beat them senseless when I find them. Okay, where are they? I'm going to go get them. Then he goes, well, it's not that big a deal. And we can just take. I go, oh, okay. Well, we'll have them down there. I said, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. So they're around the university over there. So I just, you know, just to play with them, I'm like, you know, who do I got to kill? You know, I'll get, because at first they go, well, we're going to find you if you don't, you know, but he didn't do it. He was pretty cool about it. He's like, okay, you're lighting up, you know. I'm like, all right, we'll get him down. But the, we put John Taylor Gatto on the signs as one of the featured speakers. We just did four. Ron Paul, of course. Charles Goyette, because he's well known here in Arizona. John Taylor Gatto, because lots of homeschooling goes on in Arizona. To homeschool your child here, the only requirement in law is that you notify them that you're not going to be educating your child in the public school system. I hereby notify, you know, whoever that we're doing it at home. Have a nice day. And when we pulled our kids out of school, the first day of school, I went in, go to the desk, and I knew the women there. And I said, can I borrow your little pad there? And it's one of those while you were out pink slips, you know? And can I use your pen? Okay. And I turned it over on the back, and I go, to whom it may concern, the Hancock children will no longer be attending public school. We'll take care of it. And I signed it and handed it back and walked out. That was the most they were going to get from me, because it didn't say what kind of form or how specific you had to be, who you know. I go, yeah, you are hereby notified. We are done. So we're done. And that's when my oldest was in third grade. So, and she's married now. So we are very fortunate here in Arizona. Now, other states aren't like that. Some of it's compulsory. I mean, it's mandatory. There's a 45 is your temple. And even if you homeschool, they allow that, and you got to do state testing and all this other stuff. And one Massachusetts family, they brought
in there because a court order, they had to appear at this Best Western or Motel 6 or whatever it was. They had a little lobby there. They were going to do testing. Okay, you have a court. You show me a court order, and their attorney says, you get a court order, and we're all over it. They give them a court order. They go, and they have – they were like 13 and 15 at the time, young – I think the girl was older, and a boy and a girl. And they show up. They put them in front, and they put the test in front of them. They just set the pencil down, and they just sat there for the appropriate time. Da, 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 da. And they just sat there, and they wouldn't take the test. They go, hey, we produced them. You know, you can do what you want. Like, what are you going to do, put a gun in their mouth? You know, make them take it? So they cited the parents with child neglect for failing to raise their – they actually said this, failing to raise their children to respect government authority. And then they took the children from them, but they allowed them to live with their parents as custodians of the children, but they were wards of the state. This is the mindset. You know, when you challenge, they don't, what else are they going to do? They still, they're ours. You know, this is the sickness that's going on, and that's what John Taylor Gatto spoke to. He was Teacher of the Year in New York City for like 3 years, and he goes, I'm not hurting children anymore. You know, he was, and the reason he was so good, he was just bypassing all these. Are you kidding me? And he wrote that how all this was done on purpose. And I really look forward to seeing his speech because he's really getting up there in age, and I'm so glad that we finally got an opportunity to meet him. You know, he wasn't free, you know, but it was so worth it to have him come out and spend the substantially adequate amounts of money to encourage him to come out. And he's hard to communicate with because he doesn't use the internet. You know, you're lucky you ever get a phone message into him, and you have to do the old fashioned way. You got to write letters. And I'm like, okay, you know, and then we do some faxes with people he knew that had a fax. I mean, that kind of stuff. So, dumbing us down, book they wrote, excuse me. And what happened is he was very influential, and he spent his big six-hour speech, he condensed it down into 45 minutes an hour so that he could get all the main things, so it made it a great speech. And this is going to be very popular. And I said, look, and you don't have to stand at the point. You can sit down here. He was very thankful I get to sit down because, you know, he's up there in years. I don't know how old he is, but he's up there. But it was just – it had a big impact on people. So – I'm looking forward for the DVDs coming out, but I wanted to get Jet's perspective. And I tell you one thing, we really need to thank Charles Gillespie. He and Renee are activists here. And Charlie and Drew and Ben and Shelton, all of they work together with all our camera equipment that we have here and the sound equipment that he has, and he took care of everything. I mean, he got a little late start, you know, like a few minutes. I mean, they were going right up to the wire, and we wanted to change and move, you know, speakers so we could see, you know. So it kind of, you know, we got like, you know, we always run on time, dang it. You know, but it was like maybe 5 minutes into it, so we weren't perfect. But, I mean, 5 minutes out of a 2-3 day thing, we're good. And Charlie did a great job. He was there. And I tell you, the only person that probably worked harder than I did was Charlie. Because he had to sit there on that mixer the entire time. So if I had to pick somebody, it would be Charlie. And then the camera guys, you know, they're there. Drew is always taking care of business. And they got, you know, 40 hours. Because you have more than one camera and all the other stuff. They got probably 40 hours of tape to go through. Oh, and they go, oh, when are you going to have this done? They go, oh, yeah, it'll be done by midnight. Yeah, are you kidding, you know? And when we've done it before, we have done it where you have just one static camera. It's done. The DVDs are burned right then, and they sell the DVDs within 10 minutes after the speaker's done. We've done that in the past before. And they're good, and they're fun, and they, you know, they do the job. But, you know, we got skills. You know, we're going to produce this. We're going to make it nice. I mean, we got, you know, four Liberty movie guys to contend with now. I mean, we got to come up with, you know, something good. So we're going to work on it. And thanks to Charlie Gillespie, hopefully all the sound and everything comes out on tape. And all that, so I'm not premature, but I'm sure it does. Everything worked out great, and he was a big help. So thanks to Charlie. And Jet, you know, what was your experience? I knew we were. I don't even know what you did.
I had a great time. I was kind of, you know, I did a lot of different things. I sort of was I told Donna right off the bat, you know, like your wife, you know, if you need any help, let me know. So I was a resource to Donna. I worked in the front of the house, and I picked up a lot of different people from the airport the first day. And some of them were staying at my house, and you know, so I was kind of hosting a little bit, and then I was just sort of a helper. Like if Gene wanted to go take a break, I would man the tables, and so I was kind of just like the fill-in guy.
And who are the people? Do you remember the names of some of the speakers that you transported?
Well, I only the speakers. I had Adam Kokesh that, he drove in an RV, but, you know, we kind of, you know, I kind of shuttled him around and made sure he got where he was going. And, but the best part was with Joel Skousen, I got to bring him to the airport yesterday. And, you know, after it was pretty soon after his speech, and I had some questions, you know, about the speech that he made and, you know, some, you know, just some clarification things. So we had a really nice ride to the airport.
Joel was very, very controversial. He wasn't shy about it. And we knew he would be. And he was there to talk about preparedness stuff. But I wanted to make sure that he got that in. But he had a lot of other stuff to say. And we'll talk about it when we come back.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
A small president blind to the needs of his people. Saw a camel pass through the eye of a needle. Saw a group of old men whose money was evil. Saw a cross breaking free from a cage of steeples. Saw beggars and cripples dying in squalor. A son who
you know, I could listen to that. I wanted to go the maximum. I was like, Jet, how long? I'm going to play the whole dang song, man. That's Jordan Page. He's great. He did a fantastic job. And I'm so sorry that his wife wasn't feeling well. I mean, she really, they had to go to the clinic and get some antibiotics because she came in and got the bug. And that just really sucks. But we got to meet her and enjoy their company. And he did a great job regardless. And I'm just so glad that he got to spend time with us because we made good friends with him over the last couple of years through the revolution. And I really, really, really wanted everybody to meet him. And they really enjoyed his work. And we're going to be spreading the love all over Arizona State University. You watch what happens. I already know what happens. See, that's one thing why I enjoy this stuff. You know, I give you an example. We have a lot of things that we enjoy. You go on a vacation and you'll enjoy it. But, you know, I get probably 75% of my enjoyment is the anticipation of the vacation. You know, so you know what you plan enough to know that you don't have a. And see, now my mother-in-law, I love her dearly. I mean, we get along fine, especially now after her crazy son-in-law has been right. But what happened is she's always way too organized. I mean, every single waking moment it's regimented. Kind of, I'm aware. I do that to her too. I go, Rose, where's the fun part scheduled in here? Where's that fun? You got a fun part in here? Where's that fun part? Well, we'll be having, we got to do that. I'm going, whoa, time out. We're going to be together. It's all good. We're going to go here to there and whatever happens. Don't worry about it. And we might not want to do that when we're there and we're tired, you know, 6 hours from now at the end of your itinerary. I mean, you know, come on. So this is, I like having these people together. We just get together and we have fun and I enjoy the anticipation of the fun we're going to have. So when I know what we're going to do over the next 4 weeks in preparation for the students coming back at ASU. We've done this before. I already have enjoyed it. I am getting maximum pleasure out of it right now just thinking about it. So this is, but it's all fun. What exactly are we going to do? Now, I don't know. But I know there's a lot of fun involved. And we'll have Christmas parties. Now we can start relaxing and we'll start scheduling some Christmas. I know Jet's always, he had a great Thanksgiving dinner at his home. Anybody that didn't have Thanksgiving already planned with family and so on, Jet's wife was working, I think, right? You know, she's working, you make a gazillion dollars as a nurse working. You know, it's like, you do that, you'd be nice to her later, you know? But he went ahead and had a big party, and anybody that didn't have plans went there, they had a great time. So this is, we're family, and we're going to have to survive this thing. And to survive it, we're going to need to get some kind of information, you know, maybe a perspective that you didn't hear. And one of those guys that really was, you know, edgy, but we found that he's really informed, and I'm very glad we got to meet him and enjoy his company. And I think he and his wife really enjoyed hanging with us, was Joel Skousen. And Jack got to spend some time with him. What was some of the stuff that you found interesting about your conversation with him?
Well, I'd heard a lot of things about, you know, how the New World Order is going to come about. And, you know, I've always tend to believe it's sort of going to be economic, and they don't really want to kill us in an orderly fashion, not like a big boom all at once and, you know, nuclear strikes. Because I've read a lot of articles and through the research that I've done that China, the reason they invested in us so much is because they feel that it is their manifest destiny, because that's the one thing the Chinese don't have: enough room and arable land. And they feel that the United States, they want to make it their manifest destiny to actually take over our land.
And really?
Yes.
And you think they can or should?
Well,
I mean, are we talking generations or next week or?
No, I'm just saying it's been a plan that's been in place, and that's why they've invested so heavily in us. And, you know, that's why they make these deals with our government, and they keep taxing us to death. And, you know, because you got to keep your slaves in line so you can pay us our debt back. And so I asked him about, you know, a nuclear explosion in numerous cities across this country might be a little counterproductive to a manifest destiny type of thing.
What was his response?
He said that the fallout from nuclear weapons didn't last all that long, and it wouldn't be a problem that would work.
You know, it's and the one thing that I said is that I kind of couched it this way before he shocked everybody. As I go, I heard all kinds of crazy, crazy conspiracy stuff when I first started, when I was the kid's age, the young men and women their age. When I go, I heard all this stuff. And it came from the John Birch Society kind of guys. And everything they were talking about that I remember all came to pass or is coming to pass. I'm going, nothing surprises me anymore. I'm telling you, regardless of whatever you're seeing here, keep an open mind, because I'm telling you, some pretty crazy crap, man, was going on that I was hearing about then that's coming to pass, and I mean, dang. So I don't dismiss anything. You know, just add it in the back of your cortex and kind of see what fits in there. Expand your mind on this stuff, because nothing surprises me anymore. So he did a really good job of making his case. And there is a lot of people that just, you know, I think, surprisingly, I got of comments about what a great summit it was and the diversity of it came from having Joel and Gatto there more than anybody else. And it really surprised me.
It blew me away, to be honest.
Now, so it was a really good summit, and I'm really looking forward to DVD. We'll be pushing it.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
It's the Beatles, Frosty the Snowman. And when he wasn't a snowman here in Phoenix, he's a pile of water is what he is. You know, as big a pile as you can have of water. You know, they have those. They call them Arizona snowmen. They're like little globes, you know, the logo. And all it has is little snow globes, but there's no snow in it. It's just water. And all it has is like two little pieces of gold, of coal, and a top hat, and a little carrot for a nose, and some other people, you know, just stuff in there. It's an Arizona snowman. So those are popular. You know, and Jet, all, you know, we had John Stadtmiller from Republic Broadcasting Network. He was there, as was Robbie Noel. And Robbie lives here. So, and John, you know, thought, you know, it'd be cool to come down. So he came down and got the visit and kind of hang. And he was more socializing around, just got to, you know, get the feel and to meet everybody. And I think he kind of understands, you know, why we're the way we are now. And one thing he said, he goes, "Yeah, Ernie, you never explained it well enough." I'm like, "Well, obviously, you don't listen to my show enough." I'm going, wow, you know, this is what happened. So he and I have spent time together over the past couple of years. We got to know each other. But this is the first time that John got to go and just soak up the ambiance of the people that made the revolution. Now, he had been to different functions and spoken at different things, but he had never really got behind the scenes or just to meet or see when we're all together. Not when we're trying to, you know, market to Republican Party or market to the media. When we're just informing ourselves. When we are, the Freedom Summit says it on the front page. It has since the beginning. The Freedom Summit is an annual update on our current status of freedom. There is no central plan for freedom. That's what it says. I mean, we're just there. You know, we just want to make sure you understand that's all we're doing here. We're providing a wide, that's like Freedom's Phoenix, it has the same philosophy. We have a wide spectrum of people that participate. And I think after this, Joe Scales is looking forward to participating on the site a lot more. And that's cool. And that's another side effect of that. But Jet got, you know, for the first time, Jet and John got to see each other. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, for the Freedom Summit, they make really nice badges up and your name's kind of big. And so you can really see who everybody is, you know, so you put the name to the face and, you know, because there's a lot of people that you read their stuff or you hear them, but you don't really know who they are face to face. And, you know, so I saw Mr. Stadmiller standing there. So I, you know, always the joker, I took the opportunity to walk up to him and I was like, "Hi, Mr. Stadmiller. You're the only person at the Freedom Summit that I could possibly say this to, but my name is Jet Lacy. You may have heard of me."
And Jet, how tall are you?
I'm 6'2", 280.
6'2", 280, bald and beautiful, some tattoos and tall, big. You know, it's like, oh no, it's the skinheads are here. Where's your chopper or something? I mean, and he's a teddy bear and everybody enjoys Jet, but it's just, you know, from a distance, it's like, dang, here comes Jet, you know, but you're always glad you got him around. We don't have issues. The other thing is, God, who else were you?
We did have a fantastic conversation, though. You know, he was really enlightening. I talked to him about what he had appeared in the Camp FEMA movie quite a bit. And I told him he had some really interesting observations in the Camp FEMA movie.
Oh, one of the other things. See, I didn't get to do, I tell you, you know, Charlie Gillespie was probably the only person that worked harder than me doing all that except for Donna. Donna never, ever gets to enjoy any of the summit because somebody has to be in charge of everything outside of just the speakers and when they're speaking and when they get up and when they do their thing. You know, I'm there and I had a microphone and I go on and do the Phil Donahue thing. It's like a live talk show audience thing. That's what it is for 2.5 days. I mean, and then we added Thursday. That's another thing. Oh my goodness. If we keep doing this film thing, you know, I get that. You know, pretty soon it's going to become a week thing, you know, but, cause it used to be just Saturday and half Sunday. You were done at lunch. That's how it started. Then it started extending, you know, people wanted more. Then Friday night when all the speakers would come in, Mark and I would just have a private party. That's why we did it. We wanted to meet them and do all this kind of stuff everybody else gets to do. And then, you know, who do you not? Oh, I want to go. And it's 30 people and 50 people and 100 people. Fine, screw it, man. We'll just do some pre-summit thing on Friday night at the event. And then that gives us the opportunity to make sure all the mics work. It's informal. I go, we're just here partying, play some music. It's all good. And that helps us get all the bugs worked out.
Margaritas.
You know, one thing... I made a mistake in the contract. It was like appetizers or margaritas, and I thought it was both. And so people were there like, "Hey, man, there's no food? Slacker!" You know, and I go, "Well, I got free margaritas," you know. I apologize for that. And people were not happy about the chips. So they had to go down, and there was little restaurants around. They went and got fast food and brought it back, and so I was okay. But so we had a really good time. What the other thing that went on, it was Friday night after everybody, we're going over to the Denny's, and which is right there, you know, a walking distance. You guys walk over there or drive or whatever?
Well, I ended up, I made a deal with Adam Kokesh about where I, the to the Denny's that right next to the Burger King that used to be my boss when I was a kid on 23rd and Northern.
Oh, is that the one you guys went to?
No. He told me he was going there, and then he went to the other one.
Back in the 80s, you know, we found out, back in the 80s, when Don and I, my first guy, because that's why I used to have a pizza. I used to be in restaurant management. I managed Burger King. I was a manager of Pizza Hut at one time, and then I cut my teeth on Domino's expansion. So that was, you know, back in the 80s, that's what I did. Well, the restaurant that I opened, and, you know, Jet was an employee there when I was there at the time. I didn't even know it, you know, for a while. And then, so that's a side there. But, you know, the Denny's mm-hmm. that you guys went to,
yes.
you know, there by the
Metro Center.
The hotel right across. Did you guys walk or drive?
Well, I drove because I accidentally went to the other one by accident. So, yes, we drove there, but everybody was there by the hotel, including, you know, Thomas Woods and Adam Kokesh and about 35 other people, and they were already woefully understaffed. I felt bad for the people, but, you know, Adam Kokesh likes to take people all to Denny's late at night.
Well, that's the way he rolls. I remember one thing was funny in one of his speeches. They were saying something about when he goes, "Well, I don't drink anymore," and we're all laughing. He doesn't drink, yeah. But anyway. So, what they did? They go there late night Denny's, and we had Shelton was there with his webcam. You know, so he's live broadcast. So a lot of all the behind the scenes stuff and the things, that little parties and all this, you know, here you're going live to his blog TV or whatever that Shelton was doing. So Shelton is sending all this stuff out, what's going on behind the scenes. And Thomas Woods got to go hang with the guys, which was very cool, mm-hmm. you know. And he's like, well, what else am I going to do? You know, so he's out there having a good time at Denny's. He goes there and he's ordered. And now, and this is the big thing they're talking about. What do they call it?
He had to go to the restroom real bad, but they were so understaffed, he wrote down what he wanted, you know, in plain English, you know, so they could order for him, so he'd get exactly what he wanted. So they started filming what he wanted. They're like, look, this is what Thomas Woods wants for breakfast, and he comes back, and he's like, what are you guys doing? And so they ended up calling it, you know, because he's an Austrian economist, the Austrian Slam.
So he's got his own. So now, if you want to know what the Austrian Slam is, you got to go to Blog TV 4409 and find out. I don't even know what it is, but it's so that's the kind of fun that we've had. And a lot of us, the filmmakers, Chris and Corey, stayed at my home, you know, because my kids have, you know, finally just all the last ones, they all moved out. So I got some extra rooms and beds in there. And I'm like, cool, yeah, everybody can stay here. Jim Dusing from Las Vegas, you know, he stayed in. He still got my wife's truck. She's like, hey, when do I get my truck back? You know? So they're out. Everybody had a good time. And it's just been a really good, and this is how they always are. And this is the first summit we've had since the revolution, because we didn't have it. This is our eighth one. And we've had, one year we had two, one in Manchester, one in Phoenix and New Hampshire for the Free State Project. And we didn't have them in 07 and 08. And the reason was because of the revolution. We were too freaking busy, and everything that we wanted to do and expose and update and all the stuff that we were trying to accomplish, we were doing with that anyway. So what's the point, you know? And but I knew we were going to do one this year because we needed to post, get everybody get back together and kind of see the reason. And like Lola, Ladies of Liberty Alliance, they went down the traditional, because a lot of these guys are in the Campaign for Liberty thing. You know, they kind of, yes, we're Ron Paul revolutionaries. Okay, yeah, we want to continue this. How are we going to continue it? They go in filling out all the shiny badges and doing in 501s and paperwork and government crap, okay, and bank accounts and businesses. And I'm going, wow, man, you guys are killing me. They go, well, what do you do? And I go, it's just a sole proprietorship. I just, as little paperwork as possible. This much money came in, this much goes out, and I guarantee it's always more goes out than comes in. So, you know, what taxes do you pay on that? You know, I'm poor, man. So this is what I do. Now, of course, they could come and shut us down and everything, but this one guy and next guy next door, they always do it under somebody. I mean, it's just quit. You know, they always want to program and get you on the plantation. So they're starting to see that they're going, yeah, this organizational thing, it's just not really, it's not necessary, you know. And they'll try and create, that's what McCain-Feingold was all about. They are trying to get you on the plantation. And during the For Liberty movie, they had a former chairman of the Federal Election Commission. Was an attorney for, I think he was the attorney for when they did the blimp. You know, you said, this is how we're going to do it, you know, and what you did to get around all the laws, which I think, I don't know, what law, I don't even know why they even did anything. I contract you, put this sign up. Doesn't even say for president. Just said Ron Paul Revolution and Google Ron Paul. You know, we did that all the time. Bite me, man. I didn't give nothing. So they wanted to do some kind of structure. They raise money and do. So anyway, there's a provision in there that allows for that in advertising that you can pay for a minute of advertising. So people, they're donation would be so many seconds of the blimp having it on. Then the next guy would kick in, and the next donation, and the next donation. And they kept the blimp up until that money ran out. You know, people stopped supporting it. And I'm going, you know what? I would never have even done that. Yeah, are you kidding me? There's a sign. Put it on there. Here's the money. Shut up. So I thought it was a disservice that they even would pay homage to that. But what are you going to do? He was the FEC chairman and their attorney. Of course he's going to look for the little loophole of freedom that they have. And I remember when von Mises came to America, it was back in the 50s or something like that. And I don't know, but it's a story that I heard. And I don't have my ears correct because I'm not of that generation. But I remember being told this. Von Mises is the Austrian economics, okay? Yeah, that a lot of libertarians ascribe to. And what he said, loophole. What is loophole? Oh, these loophole, and they explain it to him. Well, so loophole is another word for freedom. Think about it. If you find a way through all this stuff, where's freedom? Freedom's in the loopholes. It's all control. You go, well, he found a loophole. He's being bad. He found there was some portion of human activity you're breathing in or out, and there was a loophole of freedom. We got to close the loophole, the gun show gun loophole, this loophole, the speaking out doing sign something loophole. And McCain-Feingold was part of that, trying to close a bunch of free expression loophole. And I'm going, I need to know that. We put up these signs and so on. I go, I need to know. Is that done? Let me know when that's – when you eliminate the First Amendment, tell me when that's done. When the First Amendment, you cannot do, you can't just run T-shirts here without a permit, because this is the way Soviet Union run it. China, all these totalitarian countries, exactly this. Did you get a permit for that slogan? Did you get a permit, you know, for – did we get our cut on that shirt? What about that flyer? You know, that website. You see my point? I need to know this, so I press the edge. And just as much as I'm bypassing the media because screw them, you know. But it's more than that. I need to know when the First Amendment shut down. I need to know. Because they have another one that's there to defend and protect the first. It's called the second. So you let me know. FYI, I need to know. When you guys press this, that's why when the Tempe sign guy calls me and he starts in on me and he goes, oh, we got these. I go, oh my God, we'll get those people. We'll hang them up by their thumbs. We'll cut off their toes and fingers and hang them up and let them drip dry. You know, I mean, kind of question authority. I'm going to cut off his toes, let him drip dry. So he's like, and then he got cool. He's like, oh, no, it's okay, man. You know, just letting you know, all right. You know, we'll get it today or tomorrow. Don't worry about it. You know, it's all good. Because I'm just like, go ahead and find me. I want to know. So this is why there's a reason why we do the things that we do. We press the edge so we know where it is. Heck, we go out on the other side of the edge. We create a new edge. You know, we expand in that that canvas, okay? Because we had lots on our palette, all kinds of pretty colors. And what was the some of the other events associated? Because I didn't get in on except for Lola's Saturday night thing they did after everything. They had a big party raising money. You got all these beautiful women, you know, come on in. And now where's the after party? I don't know. There's an after party. Oh, it's Lola. It's the after party. Boom. Everybody goes up to the after party. And they charge $10, $20 or something to come in.
All you can drink for $10.
Yeah, no, and they had a full bar, stocked it up, had a good old time. Because if you had, like, the club level has its own, like, continental breakfast for if you're on this level with your balcony and all that kind of stuff, then you get to have that. But they had some problems, people being able to get up there with the right keys and all that kind of crap. So they had the girls.
You mean there was a bunch of libertarians walking around the hotel all weekend?
So there, and it was full. The whole hotel was full because they had other events. There was like a soccer tournament and football tournaments from community colleges, and so it was packed. All these young people there with all these other young people being young. It was great.
So in other words, you mean people found a loophole?
There's loopholes everywhere. Everywhere there was a loophole, and Lola raised enough money for them to go to some. Oh yeah, CPAC or something. What is that? It's a conservative, something conservative. We wish we were conservative people. And so these guys were the ones that they were there last year, the year before, and they had a big impact. And they made sure that they got exposure to the truth, according to the Lola women, the lovely, and they got a calendar. And we had advertised in the back. I never even seen it. It's the first time I finally seen the calendar. Well, I bought what they had left, and we'll make that part of a package when we do the DVDs and so on, because I got the Lola babes all scantily clad in their issue that they're promoting. We'll make sure you have that too. We'll get a whole package of coins and silver and pretty people in just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, a new one just begun. And so this is Christmas, I hope you have fun.
This is, there is an accumulation of the spirit. This is, and everything is trying to diversify that. They're trying to break it. They're trying to dilute it. They have to. Humanity marches on. That was probably the most impactful. I mean, of all the great things that Adam Kokesh had to say in the Revolution March speech, and I don't think he, he knows from me, how much that really had an impact on me. Because when he starts his speeches, he did it at Freedom Summit, he goes, the problem with giving a speech like that is everybody expects you to speak like that all the time, We realized that the enemies of the Constitution were not to be found in some far off land, sand heap somewhere, but rather right here at home, that kind of. So he did that real quick just to get everybody's fix. And then he went into it, and he read. You go on Freedom's Phoenix right now, freedomsphoenix.com. There's a poem that he read, and Shelton already, 4409 already put it up. And he goes, when the revolution is over, I'm going to learn to paint. When the revolution is over, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. But right now, I'm married to the revolution, the love-olution. And understands this. I'm really supportive of Adam being out because he's so representative of the spirit and the kind of people and just the chilling out of what this is all about. Quit taking the stupid stuff so seriously. People in politics, they focus on some of the just stupidest stuff. And he talks about, often this happens, like Michael Moresco, Liberty Riders, living at his home, full-time activism. That's what they're doing for this election cycle. A couple other guys from Colorado showed up and said, we're here. We'll live here. We'll give me a tent in the backyard. This is it. It's the most important thing for freedom right now. We're all over it. Here we are. And this is how, and we did this here before he even started. When there's a twinkle in his eye, he might run for this Congress thing. Because even before he did the speech, I told him, once I read his speech, I go, yep, I just went around calling him congressman all the time because I knew what was going to happen. I've been down this road before. Because it's very rare to find someone with this ability to articulate this message, and running for office is a really good and cheap way of doing it and exposing it to a lot of people that the big bad guys just soon did not get exposed to. So what he did is he gives an opportunity for other people to be active. And if he has the right attitude of just enjoying yourself. If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. And I've been a little bit of an influence on him, just kind of to reinforce what he already knew. It's okay just to chill. I mean, come on. Don't be worried about, stupid stuff. What he did? He was arguing when we negotiated him coming down here, how much do I got to pay this? And he covered just about everything. And the only thing, the reason was, is because Saturday he wanted time off. I go, well, you come to the summit as a paid speaker, you my hoe, man. I mean, I'm paying you to come here and go party off somewhere else or speak at other stuff. It's like Thomas Woods. They'd love the Republican Party. Love to have him go over to their thing. I'm going, yeah, you pay half his speaking fee, we'll be all over it. Well, Adam, he goes, because I want to be in a rugby tournament in Scottsdale on Saturday. I'm going, whatever, man. You know, he likes playing rugby. Well, I tell you, you know, it's been a great weekend. And thanks to everybody that got to participate and all the people that worked so hard. I mean, so many of the volunteers, we worked out deals so that they could play. And it was very, very enjoyable. And Donna and I are going to finally rest.
I just wanted to say something. I want to say thank you to Doran. He's one of our activists that he liked my activism, and he came up with Boston's Gun Bible because I told him I wanted it, but it was too expensive. You know, I just looked at his. I didn't say anything about it, and he had it signed to me by Boston and came and gave it to me, and it just meant the world to me.
Yeah,
and I just
Doran,
wanted to say thank you.
He's been a you know, just a regular donor every now and then. We love all of them.